We're not going to preach the whole chapter tonight. When we preached chapter one, a couple weeks, let me just stop right here and say Clint did a great job last Wednesday night, amen. He did an awesome job. I thank the Lord that we got deacons that can stand in, amen. They do a great job. Amen. But when I preached chapter one a couple weeks ago, went back and Sister Sharon was about frazzled. She had a room full of boys, and she said, "Preacher, you must have preached everything you know tonight." I don't normally preach that long. I preached about 45 minutes that night, and then so you know, most time after about 30 minutes, they're letting the class go. So y'all pray hard for the classes and pray hard for me. Amen. Look at chapter Song of Solomon, chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. And help us right now, God, as we expound just a little bit tonight, God. I pray, God, you'd strengthen us through your word, Lord. And God, help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of it, God. Whatever's done in this service, we're going to lift you up. We love you. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is the apple tree of our soul. He's the sweetest and the fairest of them all. Amen. Number one, I'll just look at the rose of Sharon, the beauty of Jesus' person. When you're talking about the rose of Sharon, Sharon was a very beautiful place. If you go back and study up, this is where David's cattle fed. If you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 27, it tells us that it's mentioned as a place of excellence in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 2, and a place of where they would feed the flocks in Isaiah chapter 65. So Jesus, as the rose of Sharon, it's the beauty of his person. And I'm going to break this down just a couple of different things, maybe three different things. The beauty of his character. Now, have you ever noticed, I'm not a big flower person. My wife can tell you all the flowers in our yard. Her grandmother could tell you all the flowers in her yard. You know, I know what a rose looks like, Jackie. That's about it. Somebody says, "What's that?" I say, "That's a bush." That's a bush with a flower on it. That's a bush with a pink flower. That's all I know. But I know a rose, amen. And roses are beautiful. And when we look at a rose, a rose is almost, to me, the perfect flower. And that's how Jesus was. Jesus was perfect. He had no flaws whatsoever, amen. I don't care what modern people tell you. Jesus had no flaws. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's amazing to me. Dallas brought it up and I said, you know, it's amazing to me that any of us are sitting here, and it's amazing to me that the same temptations that Satan has thrown at me in my lifetime, he threw at Jesus. And don't you know, I've heard Dallas talk about this, and I've heard Jackie talk about this. If the devil tempts Jackie, and the devil tempts Jackie, and I heard Jackie say, "What do you think he throws at the preacher?"
That's right. Come on.
Well, if you think about that, what do you think he throwed at Jesus? And the Bible says that Jesus was without sin. Jesus had no sin. Jesus was perfect in everything that he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know what. Yes, he was tempted. Yes, he was tried. But he in no way, shape, or form did he ever fall. In no way, shape, or form did he ever make a mistake. I've been going back and studying how he fell. The devil, it is written. You go back and study. That's how Jesus conquered Satan. So his character is flawless. Like a rose, I thought a rose is flawless. He did no sin, so he could pay for our sin, amen. Let's look at the fragrance of his presence. Like the smell of a rose or a flower brings peace. I don't know about y'all now. Like I said, I know what a rose is. But I know that other flowers have scents. And a lot of times I'll walk around in our yard and I'll smell the roses. And you know what makes me mad? When you smell a rose and it ain't no scent to it. I just want to tear it up. It's supposed to smell. It's supposed to smell good. But then you got some of these other flowers that smell. They have a sense. And like that if you're having a bad day and you just stop and smell the roses. That's an old saying. We've all heard that. Sometimes you just need to stop and smell the roses. And that gives you a peace. That's what his presence can do to us, folks. It's like in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we just need to stop and smell the roses. Amen. Sometimes we just need to stop and let Jesus do what only he can do. John chapter 7, verse 37, this, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's his presence. That's his presence, folks. Now let's look at the costliness of his sacrifice. Roses are beautiful. I used to get fussed at the bank. Amen. When my wife worked at the bank, I'd get fussed at. Because every once in a while, I'd send her roses, and I'd get her a gift and go by and give it to her. And them ladies at the bank would get mad. I said, I can't help it. I've always liked buying my wife roses. They're just about too expensive anymore. They're costly. They're rare. They're delicate. They're very costly. And anytime when you buy, you know you can't give out a rose unless you cut it down. Now you think about what I'm talking about. Jesus, until Jesus was cut down, his value was not really seen. Yes, he was a great man. They saw Jesus as a great healer. They knew. They followed him around. He fed 5,000. He raised the dead. But until he was cut down, until he went to that cross, and until he was beaten and bruised and battered and rose on the third day, hey, all that he did back then couldn't have helped us not one bit today. But glory to God, when they cut him down and he came back up, just like Sharon sings that song, roses will bloom again. Hey, he's been blooming ever since. And guess what? He's helping us today. Amen. Had he not been cut down, he'd have went down in history as a great man. Had he not been cut down, he'd have went down in history as a great ruler. But he was cut down and he rose again on the third day. So he went down in history and he's known today as God. Amen. The rose of Sharon. Whew, hallelujah. The rose smells its best only after it's been crushed. I'll never forget Preacher Jack Lasseter preaching on the Rose of Sharon. Preacher Jack preached on the Rose of Sharon. He had that red rose, Jackie. He took them petals and he beat it with his fist, and he beat it and he beat it and he beat it. And as he was beating that rose, Gavin, I don't know if you remember, you probably little, as he was beating that rose, petals started falling everywhere, and a little bit of red juice was running between his fingers. You know what it did, Brother Ralph? You could smell it all over that church. Amen. That's what Jesus did. And that's what the Rose of Sharon is. He's our Redeemer. Amen. 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 Now let's look at the Lily of the Valleys. This points to Christ's purity. I want you to see something that I know I read it and I've seen it, but the Lord, it just jumped out at me this morning as I was looking over this. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon. Okay? Now notice what it says. And the lily of the valleys. Amen. Come on. Y'all notice there's an S on that word. That means no matter how many valleys you go through, they're going to be a lily there, amen. It doesn't matter how many times you go down deep in the valley, they're going to be a lily there, amen. He said, that ain't there by no mistake. I'm just telling you, when I saw that today, I got so happy I couldn't hardly stand it. I am the lily of the valleys, amen. I've been walking this Christian walk now for almost 40 years, and I've been through some valleys, and I've been through some mountaintops, and guess what? Every valley I've ever been in, guess who was there with me? The lily of the valleys, amen. Jesus Christ was there. And this is all, this speaks of his purity. He's the S in the valley. Amen. He was pure in his humility. He was born into a lowly family. He was born in a manger. He was in a stable. He was laid in a trough. There was nothing fancy about his birth. But it was pure, glory to God. Hey, it was holy. Amen. And you got to understand, so it might not have been in a palace, but I'm telling you right now, the King of Kings came into this world in a little place called Bethlehem in a stable with nothing but animals around. He was pure in his humility. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what that means? Jesus didn't even own a house. You never read where Jesus owned a house. You never read where Jesus owned furniture. You never read where Jesus owned anything. He was humble. He was pure in his humility. He was pure in his temptations. Amen. Understand something. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, listen to what it says. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he is ever living to make his intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He was pure in his temptation. In other words, the devil threw everything he had at him, and Jesus passed with flying colors. Devil picks up a coaster and throws it at me, and I fall all apart. Amen. Don't y'all laugh. Y'all right there with me. Amen. But Jesus was pure in his temptation. He's pure in his compassion. He loved and helped all. You listen. He loved and helped all who came to him. As I was studying this thing, I thought about this. He even loved some that was brought to him. Let's get a picture in our minds. The woman caught in adultery, Steve. She woke up that morning. When she woke up that morning, she might have already had this thing planned, her and that guy. You just don't wake up one morning and walk down the street and say, hey, I'm going to commit adultery with you. If you do, there's a name for that. I ain't going to preach on that tonight, but I'm just saying. She didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, she probably had this already planned. So in my mind, I see it. They had already conspired to get together, her and this man. Somehow or another, the religious crowd finds out about it. I don't know if they set a trap for her. I don't know. But we know the Bible says she was caught in the very act of adultery. They snatch her up. I just imagine they might have let her put a robe around her or something, probably scantily clothed, dragging her down the street. She never thought that morning when she got up with her mind on committing adultery that she was going to encounter Jesus. Amen. They bring her to Jesus, sling her down to his feet, said, Master, we have caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says she should be stoned. What do you say? Now, this same woman that had planned on this and thought about this and carried out the act is now confronting with Jesus. See, she was brought to him. She didn't come to him willingly. Jesus bows down and starts writing in the sand. And he looks up and said, well, that he is without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they started dropping their stones and walking away. Now, ain't nobody else there but her and Jesus. She was brought to him in sin. She woke up that morning wanting to commit sin, had it in her mind to commit sin, and she is brought before Jesus, and Jesus had enough love and compassion. Jesus said, "Hey, woman, where art thou on accusers?" She said, "Lord, I have none." Jesus could have scolded her, but he didn't. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Aren't you glad that sometimes, even when you encounter Jesus, that he's got compassion? Had it not been for his compassion, I'm just telling you, had it not been for his compassion, where would you be? Think about that. We talk about mercy and grace, and I thank God, and mercy and grace is all this is intertwined together. But had it not been for Jesus' compassion, where would you be? Lilies bloom in the low places, but they're still beautiful. Jesus does too. When we're in our very lowest, when we're in our very, when we were down deepest in our sin, when you were so low down, your mama didn't even want to know about you. When you were so low down, the church didn't even want to know about you. When you were so low down in your sin, nobody wanted to know about you, but Jesus loved you, and Jesus is that lily in that valley. He's the one that's still blooming, even though you down in the muck and the mire. Jesus loves you. That's compassion. That's the purity of his compassion. Then he goes on to talk about he's the lily among the thorns. Verse 2, as the lily is among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Amen. Ever seen it? I love briarberries, blackberries. I grew up calling them briarberries, blackberries. Y'all know what I'm talking about, them little ones about the size of the end of your thumb that grows wild. I'm telling you, them that my wife grows in that garden can't touch those, the taste of them. They're awesome. You ever been walking along and see some of them things? And they got them little flowers on them, and they're so beautiful, and you reach your hand in there to get it. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about the thorns of the rose. This is talking about a flower that grows up around the briars and grows up around all. I'm talking, there's beauty. You can have briars on it and have a beautiful, beautiful flower growing right in the midst of it. That's what Jesus is. Surrounded by harm, but still blooming. Amen. I'm telling you right now, Jesus' love stands out among everything else. Jesus' love stands out among all the other things. The Bible talks about how that when grace did abound, when sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. You got to understand something, folks. We're surrounded by harm. We're surrounded by meanness. She was singing a song. We're surrounded by all the evils of this world. But guess what? If you'll really look, there's a rose blooming. There's a lily blooming around all this other stuff. It's growing up amongst thorns. It's growing. Jesus had all the protective love. And I thought about this. All those little roses and all those little lilies that grows up around those thorns, they're off the beaten path. And had they been, Jackie, on the beaten path, somebody would have stepped on them and killed them. Sometimes Jesus lets us grow up around some stuff to help us. Think about this now. Bible says all things work to good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. It didn't say all things were good. It says all things work to good. There have been times in our life that we've had to deal with some thorns. But praise God, when we got through it, we realized, hey, Jesus was with me all the time. Even though I was surrounded by the thorns, even though I had to go through all that, Jesus was still there. And then when you start thinking about Jesus' love, what was Jesus? He was the rose. He was the lily. He was the most beautiful thing that ever lived. And he grew up around thorns, but he still bloomed. How about us? Are we blooming? Or are we complaining? Think about what I'm talking about. Yeah, I faced some thorns this week, Jason. I faced some thorns this week. Did I bloom or did I complain? Did you bloom or did you complain? So that's the purity of his love. And then look at verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. The apple tree among the trees, this is the supremacy of Jesus. It's a tree that bears fruit. I thought about it as I was thinking about all this. That other trees, other religions, other philosophies may look good, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the only one that bears fruit. Oh, you got all kind of philosophies down through the years. You got all kind of religions down through the years, and people have been led astray, and people have been taught, put down. But I'm telling you right now, the only one that has stood the test of time is Christianity. Listen to this. Jesus, he began his ministry by being hungry, yet he's the bread of life. He ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he's the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he's our rest. He paid tribute, yet he's the king. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes our tears away. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was bought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death he destroyed the power of death. Amen. He is the tree that bears fruit. It's also a tree that offers shade. Now think about that. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. I was thinking about that as I was studying this today and looking over this. I don't know if any of y'all ever worked out in the hot blazing sun, like on a farm. We would gather tobacco, and there ain't no trees in a tobacco field. Seems like it's 5,000 degrees. You sweating from head to toe, you soaking wet, and when they call for a break or whatever, I have been times Dallas sat down, try to sit down plant. They don't give much shade. But when you break for lunch, everybody's heading to the tree. Everybody, my dad, we had a big oak tree beside my grandmama's house. And I'm telling you right now, there'd be 15, 20 people sitting up under that oak tree when you was gathering tobacco. Why? Because you get out the hot sun. Now, Jesus is talking about here, shade in hot times. And as I was thinking about this, he wasn't looking for a pine tree. He wasn't necessarily looking for an oak tree. Why? Because he was looking for something that would not only give you shade, but that could feed you. It's an apple tree, amen. He's looking for something. You find a tree that offers it all, amen. I don't just need shade. I need some food. I don't just need shade. I need some shelter, amen. And if you got the right kind of tree, it can offer you shade. It can offer you food. That's Jesus. He is the lily of the valley. He is all to every one of us. No matter what we're going through, don't you know something else? Sitting under, resting in Christ. When we got saved, that was a rest from sin's burdens. I'm gonna read you a passage of Scripture that you know. Most of us can halfway probably quote this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 is the passage of Scripture we talk to people about when they want to get saved. But what saith it? Now listen. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I remember that night that I went down to the altar when the preacher was preaching. I don't know what it was. It was an assurance that when I just knew, Brother Donald Boone, if I could get down to that altar, everything was going to be all right. There was a rest. I was finding rest under that same tree I'm talking about. There was a rest that I knew that if I confess my sin, hey, he was faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Hey, we can rest from sin's burden. For who whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's for salvation. Then even after we get saved, just like I was preaching Sunday morning, after we get saved, then we make a mistake. We still don't have to be worried about being burdened down with sin's burden. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, we can rest from sin's burden. I don't have to worry about sin no more. Hey, I might mess up tomorrow, but I don't have to worry about sin no more because I've got an advocate with the Father. I've got a shade tree, Jackie, that I can get under and don't have to worry about it anymore. You got some people, and I'm going to say something now. You got some people, they live their life, and this is what they teach and they preach, that if you, it's almost like God is up there with a sledgehammer, and if you make a mistake, he's going to kill you. Let me go ahead and tell y'all, that's stupid. My Bible don't teach a God like that. My Bible teaches me that we got an advocate with the Father. That I know we sin. We all sin. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I don't worry about it. I don't lose sleep at night because I know that I can get forgiveness. Amen? That's for salvation. Amen? We have a rest from the strain of life. How many of y'all since Sundays, had a little few problems in our life? Had a few little things going, you know, life's life. I don't care what you are. Bible tells us, you know, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I read as well, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, yet ye shall find rest for your soul. Mark chapter 4, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say, Master, carest thou that we have perished? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind cease. Jesus is the only one who can calm your storm. Like the old song says, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms me. Amen. I don't care which one it is, it's all good. That's what I'm talking about. We can find shade in Jesus. His fruit was sweet. Look at verse 3 again. As the apple among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down among the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. It's hard to do this when I'm preaching. The more I trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good from me he deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. I wouldn't stop now if I tried. Y'all help me. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. Sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. That's what it... You ought to be a sweeter Christian now than you were 15 years ago. Amen. Amen. We ought to be fooled. Once you've tasted Jesus, nothing else to do. Amen. Once you've gone to the Father, once you've gone to this tree that I'm talking about, and you've eat of Jesus, nothing else will do. I'm just telling you, I've been there, folks, and I've tried it, and I ain't going back. You go ahead and listen to me. I ain't going back. I don't care what I got to do. I'm not going back. I don't care how hard I got to try. I'm not going back. Amen. The rose, the lily, and the tree talks about the fullness of Christ. The rose talks about Jesus' beautiful life. The lily purifies the heart. As the tree, it satisfies the soul. I'm going to give you one more little illustration, then I'm going to come to a close. M. Griffin wrote this. He said, in making friends about three kinds of London maps, the street map, the map depicting the thoroughways, and the underground map of the subways, each map is accurate and correct, he writes. But each map does not give the complete picture. To see the whole, the three maps must be printed one on top of another, set down one on top of another. However, that is often confusing. So I'll use only one layer at a time. In other words, he's trying to explain somebody the streets and the sewers and everything of London. Now listen to this. It said the same words used to describe the death of Jesus Christ. Each word, like redemption, reconciliation, or justification, is accurate and correct, but each word does not give the complete picture. To see the whole, you need to place one layer on top of the other, but that's sometimes confusing. We cannot see the trees for the whole. So we separate out each splendid concept and discover that the whole is more than the sum of its parts. In other words, I could get up here and talk about how the rose talked about Jesus' beautiful life and how the lily talks about his purity and everything that he did, and how the tree talks about how it satisfies the soul. And when you and all that is encompassed in Jesus. But sometimes you have to break it down so we can better understand it. Amen. That's the lily of the valley, and that's the rose of Sharon. Everything you need, you listen to me, everything you need is found in Jesus. Amen.